Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of May Bukhari. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Mayhek Bukhari was born in 1999 in New York City. She went by the name May. Her father, Raza Ali, is believed to have worked as a security officer, but not much is known about him. Her mother, Anzreen Bukhari, ran a private security company. When May was young, her family moved to Stoke-on-Trent, England. This is 44 miles south of Manchester. At the age of 18, May enrolled at Manchester Metropolitan University and studied fashion. Around the same time, she started a YouTube channel titled Maybe Vlogs. Her videos were about fashion, lifestyle, and the application of cosmetic products. In 2019, May started posting content on Instagram, eventually accumulating 50,000 followers. Apparently, these followers were amazed by May's ability to stand in one place and stare at a camera while photographs were being taken of her. This is a spectacular skill, which one must presume they had never seen before. Shortly after achieving popularity on Instagram, May expanded her social media empire by posting videos on a platform called TikTok. Eventually, she accumulated 189,000 followers. Her mission was to inspire young women to express themselves through fashion and creativity. May started her own online retail company selling clothing and accessories, and she dropped out of college. Her focus was on her social media career. As she continued to achieve success, May involved her mother, Anzreen, in her social media business. For example, Anzreen was prominently featured in several videos, and May took her to various places like nightclubs. They were recognized together in public, and Anzreen appeared to enjoy the attention that she attracted by being near her famous daughter. Starting in 2019, May's mother, Anzreen, who was married, had an affair with a man named Saqib Hussein, who was just 18 years old at the beginning of the romance. When Anzreen ended the affair in January 2022, Saqib was unwilling to accept her decision. He claimed that throughout the relationship, he had spent £3,000 on her, and he wanted that money back. Eventually, Saqib resorted to blackmail, saying that if he did not get his money, he would send clothing-challenged videos and images of Anzreen to her husband. Presumably, Saqib had these images due to the intimate nature of his prior relationship with her. Anzreen never contacted the police about the blackmail. However, she did tell her daughter, May, who did not take this news too well at all. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, DeleteMe. Over the past few years, I have covered a lot of stalking cases which involve a perpetrator easily finding personal information online. When people try to get this information removed, they find it's extremely time-consuming. Fortunately, there is a solution. DeleteMe is a subscription service that can eliminate this type of personal information that is for sale online. They have the straightforward mission of removing customers' information from search results and upholding your right to manage and remove your personal information. The privacy experts at DeleteMe work continually to remove information from hundreds of data brokers. This gets rid of your personal data like address, occupation, marital status, age, names of relatives, and so on. How does it work? Submit your information to DeleteMe and their experts remove it. After that, they check every 3 months to make sure any new data get removed as well. If you want to get your information removed from hundreds of data brokers, go to joindeleteme.com/drgrande. DeleteMe is offering 20% off their privacy plans to all my viewers with code drgrande. Again, that's joindeleteme.com/drgrande, promo code drgrande. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On February 11, 2022, at 1:28 a.m., Saqib Hussein called 999 and made various statements to the operator, including, "I am being followed by two vehicles. They're trying to block me in. There's guys following me. They're trying to ram me off the road. They've hit into the back of my car. Very fast, they're trying to ram us off the road. Please, I'm begging you. I'm gonna die. I think I'm gonna die." At 1:33 a.m., 5 minutes into the emergency call, screams were heard and the call disconnected. When the police arrived at the scene, they found that the car Saqib was in, a Skoda Fabia, had left the A46 dual carriageway, struck a barrier, collided with a tree, and burst into flames. Saqib did not survive the collision. The driver of the vehicle, his friend Hashim Ijazuddin, was also killed. Both men were 21 years old. Here is what the police found during the course of their investigation. At 1:17 a.m., 16 minutes before the fatal collision, Hashim drove his Skoda Fabia to a Tesco supermarket in Leicester. Saqib was in the passenger seat of this vehicle. When the men pulled into the parking lot, there were two other vehicles there, an Audi TT and a Seat Leon. Not long after arriving, the men drove out of the parking lot. They never exited the vehicle. The Audi and the Seat pursued the Skoda, and eventually all three vehicles were speeding down the A46 dual carriageway, reaching speeds close to 100 miles per hour. The collision was not captured on camera, but the police wondered if the two pursuing vehicles had caused the Skoda to leave the roadway. Automatic number plate recognition cameras had captured the license plates of the vehicles. The owner of the Seat, Natasha Akhtar, was pulled over in that vehicle and placed under arrest. The Audi was traced back to May Bukhari. The police paid a visit to her home and questioned her. May claimed that on the night of the fatal collision, she was in Nottingham for a social media event. Later, her story changed. She claimed that she was in Leicester and she saw the Skoda on the A46. The vehicle was being driven recklessly and left the roadway. She was in no way involved with the fatal collision. She did not really know what happened. Despite May's claim of innocence, she and her mother were arrested. As the investigation continued, the police identified additional suspects. Five men were arrested. So at this point, eight people had been taken into custody. May, her mother, Ansreen, Natasha, and the five men. All eight of them were charged with murder. Eventually, the police were able to piece together what happened leading up to the fatal collision. The beginning of the disaster was the affair between Saqib and Ansreen. As I mentioned, Saqib blackmailed Ansreen, who in turn told her daughter May. In response, May came up with a plan to solve her mother's problem. She arranged a meeting with Saqib in the Tesco parking lot in Leicester under the agreement that he would be given the £3,000 he had spent during the affair. The deal was that, in exchange, he would delete all the videos and images from his phone right there in front of May's mother. This way, she could be certain they were gone. In theory, everybody would be satisfied with the outcome. What Saqib did not know is that May had recruited several people to come with her to the parking lot with the intent of beating him up and taking his phone. In the Audi, there was May, her mother, and two men. One of those men was the driver. In the Seat, there was Natasha and three other men. Even though Natasha owned the vehicle, one of the other men was the driver of that vehicle. When Saqib and Hashim pulled into the parking lot, they realized this was a setup. When Saqib and Hashim pulled out of the parking lot, the other two vehicles pursued them. The drivers of the Audi and of the Seat were in communication via cell phone for 14 minutes of the 16-minute pursuit, as if they were coordinating with each other. At 1:24 a.m., May called Saqib using her mother's phone, and they spoke for 3 minutes. The prosecution believed this call contained threats against Saqib. The speed of the vehicles reached almost 100 miles per hour. The investigation concluded that the Seat probably rammed the Skoda from behind, causing the Skoda to leave the roadway. None of the people in the Audi or in the Seat called for assistance. The vehicles went down the road. May and Natasha took over driving responsibilities. Then the vehicles passed by the scene of the fatal collision. Even at this point, when it was clear something terrible had happened, none of them called for help. The trial for the eight alleged killers started in October 2022. In December of that year, the judge discharged the entire jury. The trial ended without convictions or acquittals. The retrial started in April 2023. One of the men who was a passenger in the Audi, Mohammed Patel, said the phone conversation between the drivers during the chase was about ramming Saqib off the road. This supported the Crown's theory that there was a conspiracy between the drivers of the Audi and of the Seat. On August 4 of that year, Mohammed Patel was found not guilty. May, Ansreen, and the two male drivers were convicted of murder. Natasha and the other two male participants were found guilty of manslaughter. On September 1, 2023, the four defendants convicted of murder received sentences of life in prison with various minimum terms. May had to serve at least 31 years to be eligible for release. She successfully appealed her minimum term and had it reduced to 26 years. May Bukhari will be eligible for parole in 2049 at the age of 50. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. How did the jury come to their decision in this case? Why were there three different verdicts across the eight defendants? Four were convicted of murder, three were convicted of manslaughter, and one was acquitted. One can argue this doesn't make a lot of sense because all eight people were in the vehicles that pursued Saqib and Hashim. Shouldn't they all be held equally accountable? I think what happened here is that the jury determined the ramming of the Skoda is what made this incident murder. This is what actually killed the victims. Anyone directly connected to the ramming would be considered guilty of murder. This would include the driver of the Seat who actually did the ramming and the driver of the Audi who coordinated with him. May was convicted of murder because she planned the crime for weeks, maintained a significant leadership role, and issued a direct threat during the pursuit. Ansreen was convicted of murder because the jury evidently believed she was not merely the blackmail target, but an active participant in a plan that escalated into lethal violence. As far as the three people convicted of manslaughter, the jury may have taken this route because those participants did not really have a direct connection to the ramming itself. When looking at Mohammed Patel, the only defendant who was acquitted, I think the jury saw his cooperation as a sign that he was not involved. He was the only one who appeared to be forthcoming, and his statements broke the case wide open against the other defendants. This brings me to item number two. Did the jury make the right decision? I believe they did make the right decision as far as convicting May and the two drivers of murder, and I also agree with them acquitting Mohammed Patel. I am not convinced that Ansreen was guilty of murder. She can make a decent argument that there was reasonable doubt. For example, Ansreen was the target of the blackmail, and therefore the victim of a crime. All she wanted was to destroy videos and images featuring her in a clothing challenge state. Through the blackmail, Saqib provoked her. Furthermore, there is evidence that Saqib was a stalker. In addition to Ansreen, he allegedly harassed another woman who rejected his advances. Ansreen wanted to intimidate him, but that does not mean she wanted to kill him. The problem for Ansreen was that she must have had detailed knowledge of the plan, and her phone was used by May to threaten Saqib during the pursuit. I believe she had a reckless disregard for his safety, which is consistent with manslaughter. So, in my opinion, Ansreen was guilty of manslaughter, not murder. As far as Natasha and the other two defendants who were convicted of manslaughter, I believe there was reasonable doubt. These three people may have agreed to join a bizarre mission to have some videos and images deleted from a phone, but did they really know about the entire plan? Was it really foreseeable that the night would end in a fatal ramming attack? Sitting in a car as a passenger and watching other people commit a murder does not automatically make a person guilty of a crime. Once the drivers of the Audi and the Seat started the pursuit, the passengers were at their mercy. Another argument here is that the jury chose to acquit Mohammed Patel, even though he was in the Audi with May. If his presence did not prove criminal liability, then the other non-drivers and non-planners arguably deserved the same level of caution. When backing up and looking at everything, I believe May and the two drivers were guilty of murder, Ansreen was guilty of manslaughter, and everyone else was not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Item number three, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. May Bukhari was self-centered, impulsive, reckless, arrogant, grandiose, overconfident, excitement-seeking, vindictive, petty, manipulative, deceptive, Machiavellian, cold, callous, remorseless, had a sense of entitlement, and was exceedingly creepy. When she found success as a social media influencer, she believed this was the only career she ever needed. She was so confident, she dropped out of college. Her mother, Ansreen, did not necessarily agree with her daughter quitting school. However, the lifestyle of an influencer was appealing to her. Ansreen found herself drawn to the excitement of her daughter's popularity. She was mesmerized by all the attention that May was getting and living vicariously through her daughter. The fame was addictive. When May included Ansreen in videos, they both enjoyed popularity. Consistent with this lifestyle, Ansreen found herself associating with many young men. One of them was Saqib. Perhaps as part of a desperate attempt to recapture her youth and keep this excitement going, she started having an affair with him. When Ansreen finally came to her senses and terminated the affair, Saqib did not take the news very well. He started blackmailing her. Ansreen could have gone to the police, but instead, she ran to her daughter. This action alone is a pretty good indicator of how immature she was. She was no longer acting like an adult. Arguably, her transformation into a social media influencer was complete. She was just like her daughter. By this time, May was intoxicated on her own fame. It is possible that she thought of herself like some type of gangster. She could have been thinking something like, "How dare someone mess with my mother? I'm going to teach Saqib a lesson. He has no idea who he is dealing with or what I am capable of." May was not entirely incorrect about her power. She was able to fill two cars with people who were willing to engage in this strange and ill-advised mission to protect her mother's honor. The total level of impulsivity represented in the two cars was staggeringly high. At least some of the people were looking for trouble. When Saqib and Hashim arrived in the parking lot, they realized something was wrong and quickly departed. The other cars pursued them. One of those vehicles rammed them. Saqib may have been blackmailing Ansreen, but he did not deserve to die. Hashim was an innocent bystander. He did nothing wrong and had no disagreement with May and her entourage. The lesson learned in this case is not to be seduced by attention, impulsivity, immaturity, and excitement seeking. Many of the perpetrators fed on each other. They worked themselves into a frenzy, and now they will have plenty of time in prison to think about how they could have made better decisions. Those are my thoughts in the case of May Bukhari. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.